Today, I want to speak on contributions. I'm not speaking on tithing. I'm speaking on contributions. And I'm not speaking on contributions in the way you might think. Because I've titled my message, Yehovah Dwells in Your Willingness. If we go to the first slide in Exodus or Shemot 25 verses 1 to 8. Yehovah said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel to take up a collection for me. Accept a contribution from anyone who wholeheartedly wants to give. The contribution you are to take from them is to consist of gold, silver and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, onyx stones and other stones to be set for the ritual vest and breastplate. They are to make me a sanctuary so that I may live among them. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, they'd spent 400 years building, making bricks, then making bricks without straw, and now they've got to provide all of this. How much did the Egyptians really bless them with? Because when they made their contributions, I don't think they gave them everything they had. I still think they must have had some left over for themselves. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be an Israeli at that time? In less than 6 months, they'd gone from being a slave nation that knew nothing about troubles and hardships to see the miraculous of Yehovah on a daily basis. And this is what Yehovah did for our ancestors, and he's doing it for us to this very day. According to Romans 6, 17 and 18, it tells us that by Yehovah's grace, you who were once slaves to sin, obeyed from out of your heart the pattern of teaching to which you were exposed. And after you had been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. I believe that it is the will of Yehovah that we, who have been delivered from the bondage of sin, should now dwell in the miraculous of Yehovah daily. But we have to believe it. We have to believe that we're going to receive a miracle every day. For most of the first 20 chapters of Shemot, we find that Yehovah is being an Elohim that works outside the requests, the faith, or even any effort on the part of the people. We have a look at it. One, he sent Moshe. They didn't ask for Moshe, but Yehovah sent him. Then he sent plagues. Now, not all the plagues affected the Israeli people. He delivered them from Egypt. He delivered them out of the hands of Pharaoh, and he parted the Sea of Suf. He then led them by a pillar of cloud, fire by night, and a pillar of cloud by day through the desert. He sweetened the bitter water. He fed them man in the morning and quail in the evening. And as if that wasn't enough, he gave them water out of a rock that followed them wherever they went. During all of this, the children of Israel did not have to do a thing. Yehovah provided for them. All they had to do was follow his orders, and he did the rest, despite their grumbling, despite their complaining, despite their doubt. But then Yehovah leads them to Mount Sinai. It is here that Yehovah's relationship with his people change. He goes from being the Elohim that does everything to an Elohim that begins to lay down the law of expectations if they want to continue in his blessings. But I need you to take notice here of what he wants them to do. These mitzvot or commandments were not given to punish the people of Israel. They were actually given, in my opinion, to protect them. Every one of his instructions were for their protection. It was to be a way of living for their lives, so they would live long in the land they were about to possess, that they would live in that land with complete safety and security. But they had to follow his instructions and keep following those instructions. Then notice the very next thing that Yehovah says in Shemot Exodus 25:1-2. Yehovah says to Moshe, "Tell the people of Israel to take up a collection for me. Accept a contribution from anyone who wholeheartedly wants to give. Don't take anything that just gives it reluctantly. Don't take anything from anyone who feels they've got to do it out of some compulsion. Only take from those who want to give willingly." Yehovah didn't demand a payment. He didn't say each one has to do so much. He didn't make a payment from any woman, any man, any child. He said, "I will only accept what they are willing to give." Yehovah is not looking for the best you can offer, but for your willingness to give or to offer. After Yehovah makes known to his people what he wants, he then makes this statement in Shemot 25 and verse 8. "They are to make me a sanctuary so that I will live among them." And this is what I want us to realize today. Yehovah does not dwell in our obedience. He does not dwell in our willingness. Sorry, he dwells in our willingness. I'll repeat that. Yehovah does not dwell in our obedience, but he dwells in our willingness. He will visit us in our obedience for a season. But if we want him to dwell in our lives, we must constantly offer him our willingness. It's something that has to come every day. I don't know about you, but I know that it's true for me. There's been many times in my life, as I look back, when I have served Yehovah out of duty and out of obligation. I thought it was expected of me, so that's why I did it. And it is in those times that Yehovah will visit us to put us back on the narrow path. He would actually question me, "Are you doing this out of willingness or out of expectation?" Yehovah loves a cheerful giver, but how many times have you been coerced into giving when you really didn't have the finances to do it? How many times has some minister stood at a pulpit and said, "We need this, this, and this," and you were put on a guilt trip to give? I know I have been many times. You do it not to fulfill some ministerial expectations. That should never happen. It's never happened in this congregation, and it never will. It's not what Yehovah demands. He only wants us to give out of our willingness. There are two ways to view your ministry. And I've said many times, you are all ministered. Those watching online, those sitting in the room, you are all ministers. You are all priests with a ministry, according to Yehovah's word. So I said there's two ways to view our ministry, and that is as a stake or as an offering. Let me assure you, if it is a stake, you will surely die. But if you minister to others as a willing offering, it will bless you through Yehovah and the people that you are trying to help. I've seen people that seem to resent those they ministered to. They held them at arm's length, really refused to love them. As a result, their ministry wasn't effective for Yehovah as it could have been. Why? Well, let me say this. If you want to bless a parent, bless their children. We've got plenty of children in here. I love to tell the children something good each day that I can about them. Because if we look for the good in the child, we encourage the child, they're going to show you that they're the person that you think they are. Because children want to please you. Doesn't matter who you are, they want to please you. And if you tell them they're good, they'll be good. If you tell them they did a fantastic job, they'll do it again because they want to please you. And by doing that, that blesses the parents, especially at home and especially single parents. So if you want to bless Yehovah, love his people. In the next slide, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says, each should give according to what he's decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for Yehovah loves a cheerful giver. And I'm sure you've all heard this scripture used to preach about financial giving and its application, and it's applicable to that. But it's not just finances alone. It is applicable to our time, how much time we put into Yehovah, our service to others, our worship, our prayers, and more. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 to 19, it says, for I can't boast merely because I proclaim the good news. This I do from inner compulsion, woe is me, if I don't proclaim the good news. For I do this willingly, if I do the... I'll try again. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if I do it unwillingly, I still do it, simply because I've been entrusted with a job. So that then what is my reward? Just this, that in proclaiming the good news, I can make it available free of charge without making use of the rights to which it entitles me. For though I'm a free man or woman, not bound to do anyone's bidding, I have made myself a slave to all in order to win as many as possible. The reason that Shaul was so successful in his ministry is because he was willing to spend and be spent for the purposes of Yehovah. According to the scripture that we read in Shemot 25 and in the Tanakh, Yehovah dwelt in the house built from the materials the people willingly gave. But in the Brit Hadashah, the Kedavah HaShalakim, the New Testament, whatever you want to call it, Yehovah dwells where his people give him what he wants, not just what he commands. Yehovah dwells in your willingness. Yehovah expects our tithing, but he loves to see what we give out of our heart because we want to be a blessing to others. He expects our ministry or service to him because it's our responsibility. But he wants us to invest it willingly into his kingdom. What happens when the Messianic community gives more than Yehovah commands? The book of Acts happened, and we all know what happened there. Luke's subject in the book of Acts is the accomplishments of the very early believers, in particular, how they succeeded in bringing Gentiles into the framework of faith of the Messianic, of the Messiah, without having to convert to Judaism at the time. so that trust in Yeshua would not be only for the Jews. Today, the problem is exactly the opposite. The culture and religious superstructure of faith in Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, has become so gentilized, that most Jews find it hard to believe that the Brit Hadashah, Shekhinah HaShalakim, New Testament, whatever you want to call it, is as much for them as it is for Gentiles. In Shemot 35, which we'll not be reading for a couple of weeks yet, won't happen for 3 weeks, shows us how Yehovah wants to bless us if we are willing to give. And I'm not speaking of money, I'm not speaking of tithing. I'm speaking of giving to Yehovah's people through our time, our prayers, and our acts of kindness. If we go to Shemot 35, 21 to 35, it says, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit made him willing, and brought Yehovah's offering for the work on the tent of meeting, for the service in it and the holy garments. Both men and women came, as many as had willing hearts. They brought nose rings, earrings, signet rings, belts, all kinds of gold jewelry, everyone bringing an offering of gold to Yehovah. Everyone who had blue, purple and scarlet yarn, fine linen, tanned ram skins or fine leather brought them. Everyone contributing silver or bronze brought his offering for Yehovah, and everyone who had acacia wood suitable for any of the work brought it. All the women who were skilled at spinning got to work and brought what they had spun, the blue, purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen. Likewise, the women whose heart stirred them to use their skill spun the goat's hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and the stones to be set for the ritual vest and the breastplate, the spices and the oil for the light, for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. Thus every man and woman of the people of Israel whose heart impelled him to contribute to any of the work Yehovah had ordered through Moshe brought it to Yehovah as a voluntary offering." Do you notice they didn't bring it to Moshe? They brought it to Yehovah. Moshe said to the people of Israel, "See, Yehovah has singled out Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Yehuda. He has filled him with the spirit of Elohim, with wisdom and understanding and knowledge concerning every kind of artisanry. He is a master of designing gold, silver and bronze, cutting precious stones to be set, wood carving and every other craft. Yehovah has also given him Oholiab, the son of Akismach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with the skill needed for every kind of work, whether done by an artisan, a designer, an embroiderer, using blue, purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen, or a weaver. They have the skill for every kind of work and design." That in itself is a miracle. The fact that these people that used to make bricks have that kind of talent, have that kind of gift to be able to, and the knowledge to be able to do that. My mic's fallen down, I'm being told. Don't know why. That better? To me is amazing. Because that person would never ever have used that gift before. They only used to make bricks. Let's make a decision, all of us, right now, to bring Yehovah an offering of willingness daily. And I don't need you to go out of your comfort zone to do this. We are all blessed with gifts that Yehovah has given us. If you operate through your gift, it will never be a burden, just like it wasn't for Oholiab. I want to finish my message looking at gifts, which ones there are, which ones you might think you might have, so that you know how to operate in them. Then you'll have no guilt in operating in your gifts, because you can't do what you don't possess. If you haven't got a certain gift, you can't operate in it. But if you have one, then you can. But you've got to know what it is. So let's go to Romans 11, 29. For Yehovah's free gift and his calling are irrevocable. And in chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, it says, "For we have gifts that differ and which are meant to be used according to the grace that's been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, use it to the extent of your trust. If it is serving, use it to serve. If you are a teacher, use your gift for teaching. If you are a counselor, use your gift to comfort and exhort. If you are someone who gives, do it simply and generously. If you are in a position of leadership, lead with diligence and zeal. If you are one who does acts of mercy, do them cheerfully. I don't possess all of those gifts. I possess some of them. Just like some of you would possess gifts that I don't have." And she all adds more instructions to help us in using these gifts in Romans 12, verses 9 to 11. It says, "Don't let love be a mere outward show. Recoil from what is evil and cling to what is good. Love each other devotedly with brotherly love and set examples for each other in showing respect. Don't be lazy when hard work is needed, but serve Yehovah with spiritual favour or fervour." In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Shaul speaks of the spiritual or ruachal gifts we can expect to receive once we've been immersed and receive the implanting of the ruach into our being. The first set are accessible to everyone. This second set are of the Ruach Kodesh only. And we take that from 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. Now there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Ruach gives them. Also there are different ways of serving, but it is the same Adonai being served. And there are different modes of working, but it is the same Elohim working them all in everyone. Moreover, to each person is given the particular manifestation of the Ruach, or Spirit, that will be for the common good. To one, through the Ruach, is given the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge, in accordance with the same Ruach. To another, faith, by the same Ruach. To another, gifts of healing, by the one Ruach. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to judge between spirits. Or to another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. And yet another, the ability to interpret tongues. One and the same Ruach is at work in all these things, distributing to each person as he chooses. This we are given because of our faith in Yeshua. Once we are immersed, that is when the Ruach comes, as it did with Yeshua, and this is when these gifts come into our lives. You know what your gift is because you operate in it with ease. It's not a burden to you, it just comes naturally to you. So let me finish with this last scripture. I don't think it is the last scripture. I was going to finish there. I think not. It is. In 1 Corinthians 12, 28 to 31. "And Yehovah has placed in the Messianic community first emissaries," or prophets. No, first emissaries, which are the ones that go out and I'll get it out. Go out and what do we call it in English? No, not apostles. Emissaries, they go out and preach the gospel. So you've got first emissaries, second prophets, third teachers, then those who work miracles, then those with gifts of healing, those with the ability to help, those skilled in administration, those who speak in various tongues. Not all are emissaries, are they? I can't go out and do that sort of work. That's just not me. I'm not a people stranger person. I just can't go out to strangers. It's not me. Malachi can. He picks them up in his car.
Now you're thinking of evangelists.
Yes, it evangelists. Yeah. Yes, it did. Apostles came after. Not all are prophets, or teachers, or miracle workers.
King James has apostles.
Oh, does it? Okay. Now I've done those three. Not all have gifts of healing. I've done that one. Not all speak in tongues. I've done that one. Not all interpret. I'm not very good at that one. But we do seek the better gift. You know, Yah gives us the gifts that he wants us to operate in. I can operate one-on-one. So therefore, when I pray, people are usually healed. I can give words of knowledge. I can give... I can do lots of things, but it's one-on-one. But don't send me out to strangers. I can't do that bit. We all have some kind of gift. You know, all of you, what your gift is, what you're good at. That, what you're good at, is your gift. Might be singing. Beautiful voice that we can listen to in our congregation. If you can use that gift willingly, especially within our community, here in this place, the load will be lighter for the few who carry most of the load. You know, as I said, what your gifts are. We need each and every one of you to operate in your gifts. Malachi and I are not getting any younger. We've no intention of pulling back at the moment. We enjoy serving you. We enjoy serving Yah. But Yah knows our future. We don't. We need to know that there are people in our community who are willing to give their gifts to make our load a little lighter as we move into our 80s. And that might seem strange, but it's only 3 years off for me. I'm in my 77th year now. So who knows what's going to happen in 3 years, 5 years' time. Hopefully I'll be blessed like my mother and still alive at 99. I'm not too sure that I'll still be here at 99. But we don't know. But we would hate for the community not to keep going when Malachi and I are too old. Yehovah dwells in your willingness, and through your willingness, he will bless you abundantly. And I believe that Malachi and I are living proof of that. So has anyone got any questions before we go to the remembrance service? Rocky, come and get the mic.
Is that on? Yeah, that's... I believe that we all been given gift from the Ruach HaKodesh, and this is fantastic. What I have in my heart is that just encourage each other to service each other, to serve each other, to respect each other, and give the willingness to the Ruach HaKodesh to increase and develop the gift that we all have, because we have different gifts, to see the hand of Yah increasing our group and touching the reaching for the communities. That's what we need, to know each other, have it more, trust each other, and start to serve one another with the different gift that we have.
That's true, and we're going to need it more and more as the years go by, because just even with this coronavirus thing that's going around at the moment, it's red flag, a false flag. You know, less people have died of coronavirus than they have of the ordinary flu. But the World Health Organization, run by the United Nations, is trying to make it into a pandemic. It's not a pandemic. It probably never will be. So we're going to get attacked. We're going to be made to do things by the government that we don't want to. They're already telling everyone to get their flu vaccines, and the children under five can get them from a chemist now, or from five up can get them from a chemist now. You don't have to go to a doctor. You know, you've got to be careful what you do. You've got to be careful what you listen to. It's really important that we stick together as a group. We notify you what we can in the newsletter about what's happening, especially in the world, to keep you informed, to make sure. And you've got to use your discernment, you've got to use your gifts to be able to know what is for your wisdom. Use your knowledge, use your wisdom to make sure that you don't get caught into man's trap. We know Bill Gates says we need to vaccinate to depopulate the world. Does that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me. We need to vaccinate to depopulate the world are his exact words. And that's the agenda of the World Health Organization and the One World Government. So we have to be careful. We have to be wise. We have to stick together as a family, because that's who we are. And we have to trust Yehovah. He gives us all the tools we need. Let us move to the remembrance service.